Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 64 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Shamari Mosley.
My hope is that we can make some type of felony charge, because it's my belief this caller was calling from out of state.
A Moorhead family was the victim of swatting over the weekend.
A protest is planned at City Hall tonight.
Some no-knock warrants are no longer legal in the Commonwealth.
The state unemployment system is still down.
Extra dollars are going to feed hungry children.
In sports, Viking baseball is back in action tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low around 45. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Some residents in Rowan County are believed to be the victims of a form of criminal harassment called swatting. Swatting is falsely reporting an emergency to public safety for the intent of getting a SWAT team response to a location where no emergency exists. An incident began to unfold in the farmers' community late Saturday night when an individual now believed to be from out of state contacted Rowan Dispatch claiming to be an area resident. In the call, the individual told authorities he had just killed his wife and children, prompting responses from the Rowan County Sheriff's Department, Kentucky State Police, Moorhead City Police Department SWAT team, and other emergency responders. It was eventually determined the individuals at the residence were not aware of any of this, and no one was ever in any danger. Rowan County Sheriff Matt Sparks says his scrutiny of the situation began when the individual on the phone described their location.
So I said, tell me that address again. Well, he makes a comment that he's on Kai Highway 801, and then he gave the address, the numerics, and then he hangs up. So when he hung up and he referred to Kentucky Highway 801 as Kai Highway, it gave me the belief that it was probably somebody calling from out of state where they're doing these, what they call swatting calls.
Sparks says work is underway to track down the individual responsible for the call and response, and he expects charges to be filed.
Organizers are preparing to hold a rally prior to Moorhead's regular monthly city council meeting this evening. The group called Justice for North Fork is comprised of residents in the North Fork Mobile Home Park and other community supporters. They are protesting the mass eviction and treatment of residents in that neighborhood as a result of the property being sold to a commercial developer. Occupants have received a notice to vacate by the end of the month, with their former landlord offering $1,000 toward the cost of moving their home to another location. Residents who looked into estimates for that process found the cost to be closer to the $5,000 mark. Among the demands by Justice for North Fork is more time for the residents to move, financial compensation, and a protection for other Moorhead residents facing eviction. The group believes the Moorhead City Council shares the blame for their situation after community leaders created a tax increment financing district to help the project move forward. The rally is set to get underway at 5:30. City Council is scheduled for 6 o'clock.
New laws governing the use of no-knock warrants are on the books in the Commonwealth following a signing ceremony at the Kentucky African American Heritage Center in Louisville. The death of Breonna Taylor at the hands of Louisville police in 2020 marked a turning point in the racial justice movement, making Kentucky a new focal point in the widespread protests. Lexington Democratic Senator Reggie Thomas was one of several speakers who reflected on the events at a bill signing with Taylor's mother, Tamika Palmer, in the audience.
We were asked repeatedly to say her name. I think we heard her name. But I hope with the signing of this legislation today that there will be no other names ever here in Kentucky that we'll have to say or hear again.
The bill stops short of a full ban on the type of no-knock warrant involved in the Taylor case, but it creates new steps police must go through to obtain one, including providing that there is a, quote, clear and convincing evidence of a violent crime. Governor Andy Beshear signed the no-knock bill alongside other legislation aimed at improving the economic outlook in Louisville's West End and supporting teacher prep programs at historically black colleges.
Kentucky's online unemployment system remains shut down while the state implements another round of security upgrades meant to thwart increasingly sophisticated fraudsters. The processing of claims continues, but the front-facing side of the online system won't be available to Kentuckians looking to file claims until next week. Here's the governor's general counsel, Amy Covage.
The systems will be back again available on Tuesday, and everyone is going to have to re-register your account. Even if you recently went through that process on the new portal, all of that is going to be wiped out.
One reason cyber criminals are using computer programs to guess account PIN numbers, a process only made easier when claimants choose codes like 1234 or 2020, Cubbage said thousands of users have done just that. But the new system will double the length of the PIN numbers and require the creation of new, more complicated 12-character passwords. For now, users will have to wait to file claims or change their information, but the unemployment office will backdate any new claims that are filed while the system is down.
Kentucky will soon receive an extra $12.8 million per month for its SNAP benefits program, and groups fighting hunger in the state say the increase will especially help feed more children. Katrina Thompson of the group Feeding Kentucky says since March of last year, the state has relied on loosened federal restrictions to provide extra SNAP benefits and expand food access to households with children who normally rely on school meals. She says the USDA will give states additional funding through the end of September.
So what this will do is it'll especially benefit Kentucky kids, as about 71% of the SNAP participants in Kentucky are families with children.
Groups like Feeding America say they expect food insecurity to increase locally in every county and state this year, a combination of prolonged unemployment and permanent income loss from the pandemic.
U.S. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell dropped by Pikeville Medical Center Thursday for a discussion about vaccine distribution and COVID-19 relief bills. McConnell says the diligent work of healthcare professionals sharing information about the vaccine is how the state will move forward. He tells WYMT Pike County system should be followed by other counties.
If there are problems, they might call with people here. They've done it quite well, and they've got a great system.
McConnell says the progress is good and the end is near, but there is more work to be done.
As people welcome spring temperatures, many hope to put the coronavirus pandemic behind them. At the same time, research shows some will face post-COVID stress disorder for months to come. Scott Keeter is a senior survey advisor at the Pew Research Center and has been tracking psychological distress caused by the pandemic for more than a year. He says the most recent report shows the younger generation still is suffering.
In particular, in this version of the report, we have flagged young people ages 18 to 29 as experiencing especially high levels of distress.
Keeter notes sleeplessness and anxiety were the most common symptoms reported in the survey.
The Lexington VA healthcare system made Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccines available to the military community during a pop-up vaccination clinic on Saturday. The vaccine clinic was held in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky, to reach Kentucky veterans, their spouses, partners, and caregivers. Veterans Club President Jeremy Harrell tells LEX 18 the vaccine is an opportunity to help people.
For, right? Like, I've signed a dotted line to protect people. And this here today is no different. It's an opportunity to protect people close to me and people that I'll run into. And
the LVAHCS is working to address the vaccine hesitant community by expanding vaccination opportunities through people like Harrell. Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 45. Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers between noon and 3 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 67. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 47. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 63.
On our feature segment today, the Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness is hosting a virtual support group. WMKY's Keneally Roberts has more.
The organization has met on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month for a while now, but because of the COVID-19 pandemic, they've had to change tactics. On Tuesday, NAMI Moorhead is hosting the support group via teleconference from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. NAMI Moorhead Chair Carol Moriello says the National NAMI Organization has been around for nearly 50 years to help families affected by mental illness.
It was started in around 1970 by a grassroots organization with the members. The members were families of people with mental illness. And they got together as a group and learned from each other and learned how to take care of people with mental illness.
Moriello says the support group mainly focuses on people whose family members have been diagnosed with schizophrenia and or bipolar disorders.
When someone has schizophrenia and even bipolar, a lot of times they deny that they have the illness, which is one big problem. And so you have to learn how to deal with that and how to talk to people who have it. You know, the illnesses kind of go together.
She says the group came about because most members have adult children with mental illness, and knowing how best to care for them can be hard.
Doctors don't want to talk to you. You can't, you know, if your child doesn't want them to talk to you, you know. And if your child is in the hospital, you can't find out whether they're there or not. So the members of, you know, the members, the family members have learned more about mental illness by being this organization that started together.
She says the chapter is so small, it allows both mentally ill individuals and their family members to attend the support groups instead of keeping them separate, something that happens in larger communities.
I think it's become kind of important for people who have the illness because they, you know, they get to connect and they get to feel okay. You can go somewhere and complain, and that goes for people who are parents. So you can come and complain, and that's okay. We don't always have answers, but we try to, you know, to help people in dealing with things.
Moriello says it's vital that an organization like NAMI exist to educate members of the community.
It's important for this community, one because there's the denial that there is such a thing. Certain people and certain other people think, well, I'm educated. I know about this. I got this. I look online. I read this. I read that. But there is nothing like talking to somebody face-to-face who's been through it. There's nothing like that.
For more information on the group or to find out how to attend the support group, call 606-356-3181 or visit NAMI Moorhead's Facebook page. For WMKY News, I'm Keneally Roberts reporting.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, scones, cookies, and cinnamon rolls. Lunch items feature signature sandwiches, braids, and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Curbside delivery at 780-4282, Facebook and online at rutabakers.com.
It's 64 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Shamari Mosley and Keneally Roberts, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We have a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us on this Monday evening. Viking baseball is back at home tonight for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. The Rowan County Senior High School boys baseball team is set to host a home contest this evening. The Vikings split their two games last week, winning over Greenup County 8-3, then falling to Mercer County 12-5. It was the first loss of the season for Rowan, now sitting at 5-1. Head coach Scott Collins says there were some hiccups in the Mercer County game they can't repeat against the Eagles.
Just really didn't show up prepared to play, and that's on me. You know, I guess I didn't have them ready, but just you could tell by the body language that it wasn't going to be a good day, and it wasn't. You know, we had several costly errors and some mental mistakes that kind of hurt us in that game, but
hopefully we'll learn from it and get back on the right track tonight when we play Fairview here at home.
First pitch in Moorhead this evening is set for 5:30 p.m. In other regional baseball action tonight, Ashland Blazer hosts Boyd County, Bath County hosts Menifee, and Fleming County travels to Lewis County. Taking a look at area softball action scheduled for tonight, Magoffin County will be at East Ridge, Powell County will be at Estill County, Menifee will be at Fleming County, Bath County heads to Henry Clay, Martin County hosts Johnson Central, Montgomery County will be at Mason County, and Boyd County will be in Wayne, West Virginia. The Round County Senior High School softball team is back to work after going 2-for-3 in their games last week. The Vikings got victories against Powell and Greenup County, but ended up dropping their contest against Lawrence County Saturday. Head coach Larry Sloan says while his girls are still in the adjustment period of their young season, he's been pleased with what he's seeing.
We hit the ball well. We moved the ball and scored runs, got good pitching, and played really good defense. We were without two starters Saturday, Haven Ford and Emily Hacker, two of the bigger bats in our lineup.
Rowan next plays tomorrow evening. They'll be hosting Fleming County for a 6 p.m. matchup. A member of the Moorhead State University football team is getting some conference recognition after the team's win over Valparaiso Saturday. After intercepting two passes to help Moorhead State football win the Pioneer Football League matchup 28-24, junior cornerback Brandon Barbie has been tabbed as the league's co-defensive player of the week. Head coach Rob Tenier says Barbie's award was well-earned as part of an excellent Eagles defense this season.
You know, in my eyes right now, I think he's a defensive player of the year in the conference. He's had a huge impact on our defense, and we got some guys playing really good over there. I mentioned, you know, Vincent Winey last week, and our defensive front, our Tyler Noble, our other cornerback. We got some guys playing really good football, and, you know, Barbie's obviously deserving of that award because of his performance versus Valpo.
Barbie also added three tackles and led a defensive unit that held Valpo to only 88 passing yards. MSU's next matchup will close out the spring season as they host Butler this Saturday at 4 p.m. Moorhead State baseball went 2-1 in a three-game series with Austin Peay this weekend. The Eagles lost game one Thursday night 13-4, but in Friday's doubleheader, MSU won game two 14-9 and then ended the series finale on a mercy 12-1. Head coach Mick Aoki said going into the contest that the most important part of the game is consistency.
So for us, that's the goal, is to go out there and play at a really high level, play as well as Moorhead State can play every time we take the field, regardless of whether it's Dayton or Austin Peay or the University of Kentucky or whoever it happens to be. I think we just continue to want to focus on ourselves and try to be the very best Moorhead State team that we can possibly be.
The Eagles return to Sunny Allen Field this week. They'll host a four-game series with Eastern Illinois starting Friday at noon. Moorhead State's home softball series versus Belmont over the weekend was canceled due to COVID-19 protocols and in accordance with Ohio Valley Conference policies. Also in accordance with established protocols, those games will not be rescheduled. Head coach Samantha Jones said her team will continue to focus on their strengths as they prepare for this weekend's contest.
Our forte is getting on base and causing chaos on the base pass and then working from there. So our goal is, you know, to be our steadfast strong when it comes to defense, but then extend our bat and get little hits by little hits and then continue to run and do what we do on the bases.
Moorhead State is next scheduled to travel to UT Martin on April 16th and 17th for a three-game series. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers. Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Ruth Hunt Candy Company, caring for the community by encouraging everyone to follow safety guidelines and stay healthy. Ruth Hunt is Kentucky proud with traditional candies and confections, Woodford Reserve bourbon balls, Laura Hemp's chocolates, and Blue Mondays. Ruth Hunt Candy celebrates 100 years in 2021, sweetening the distance between you and your loved ones. Ruth Hunt Candies in Mount Sterling, Lexington, and anytime online at RuthHuntCandy.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks fell slightly from record levels as muted trading resumed before the release of widely watched inflation data and first quarter earnings. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 55.2 at 33,745.40. The S&P 500 was down 0.81 at 4127.99, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 50.19 at 13,850. Wall Street has been relatively quiet, with the S&P 500 moving within 1% for five sessions in a row. Market volatility has declined to pre-pandemic levels amid rising reopening optimism. The CBOE Volatility Index, or the VIX, has traded below 18 for the past 4 days, a level unseen since February 2020. Shares of Nuance Communications jumped 18% after Microsoft announced it will buy the speech recognition company in a $16 billion deal, and this is the biggest acquisition by Microsoft since it bought LinkedIn for more than $26 billion in 2016. Chipmaker NVIDIA jumped 6% after it said first quarter revenue for fiscal 2022 is tracking above its previously provided outlook and that it expects demand to continue to exceed supply for much of the year. And the weakness in reopening plays weighed on the overall market, with shares of Carnival and Norwegian Cruise Line off more than 4% each. United Airlines fell about 5% after the carrier said its first quarter revenue is expected to fall 66% with the same period in 2019. The new guidance fell near the top of the range, between 65 and 70% that the company had previously forecast. Tesla gained more than 3% to around $700 after it was upgraded by Canaccord Genuity to a buy from a neutral rating and raised its price target to $1,071, citing its battery innovations. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.8% at $59.68 a barrel. Gold was down 0.7% at $1,732.50 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up 32 cents at 98.61, AEP up 11 cents at 86, Marathon Petroleum down 62 cents at 52.21, App Harvest down 5 cents at 16.93, Community Trust Bank up 46 cents at 44.95, and Anthem was down $1.59, finishing at 359.42. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
Taking a look at your region's extended weather forecast for tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low around 45. Tuesday, a 20% chance of showers between noon and 3 p.m., partly sunny with a high near 67. Tuesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 47. Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 63. Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 39. Thursday, mostly sunny with a high near 57. Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low around 38. Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 62.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Josh Grogan, Heather Fannin, and Rachel Turner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from WMKY's own Keneally Roberts. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Shamari Mosley and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.